Welcome to Talking Supply Chain. In each episode, you'll hear from the authors that make Supply Chain Management Review such a special publication. This podcast is hosted by Bob Troublecock, Editorial Director of Supply Chain Management Review. Remember that Bob welcomes your comments now to today's episode.
Welcome to today's episode of Talking Supply Chain, Building the Startup Supply Chain, What It Takes. I'm Bob Troublecock. Joining me today is Kruten Shah. Kruten is a partner with N Squared Partners and was part of the team that created a supply chain from scratch for Adormi. Kruten, welcome.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you for having me this morning. Really excited to be part of this talk today.
Well, we're happy to have you. Most of the companies I talk to are long-established brands. They might be tweaking their supply chains or expanding into a new market, but something else is happening. Many of those established brands now have to move from B2B supply chains to D2C supply chains. It's like starting from scratch. And of course, in COVID, they're dealing with all kinds of things they didn't have to deal with before. And of course, there are startups who have reached a scale that they no longer want to rely on third parties, but take control of their destinies. It's made me wonder, well, what does it take to do that? Let's start with a little background at Adormi. The startup had been working with 3PLs, but needed to bring its operations in-house. Kruten, what was the catalyst? Why did they believe they needed to do that?
The biggest catalyst for Adormi was growth. They were growing pretty fast. And, one of the bigger challenges they were facing was that they wanted to control the customer experience, and working with their then 3PL partner was getting increasingly complicated, as well as sort of not necessarily meeting the customer experience expectations. So in order to sort of solve for that, the company and the board and the founders decided to bring supply chain in-house and control their own destiny, if I was to put it that way.
So having worked with a startup, and you may have touched on this a little bit, but expand a little bit. How does a company make that decision about whether to buy it, outsource this, or build it, do it in-house? You know, what's sort of the decision-making that goes through on that?
Sure. I think I've had this discussion with several companies over the last 6 months or a year where, COVID has obviously accelerated the change or transformation that they needed for their e-commerce network, or traditional companies going down the path of e-fulfillment, or established e-commerce companies scaling up fast and sort of struggling through COVID times. So all of that sort of resonates in with this sort of decision-making question, Bob, you're asking about. But the biggest factor for me that goes behind this is truly sitting down and understanding what is the need and what is the desire, and do you truly have the ability to execute upon it? I think a lot of companies struggle with those aspects. Some companies think that they have a real need, but ultimately when they evaluate, they may not have the ability to do it. Whereas, other companies may not even really have a need. It might just be a desire thing. So truly sitting down, evaluating these factors of what constitutes that need and what constitutes that desire and your ability to execute becomes the pioneering factor that leads to decision whether you want to do it in-house, do you want to continue to outsource, and if you want to even do it in-house, what is the best path for you and the company? Do you have the CapEx ability to do it? Do you have the management team that takes to do it? Right? So there's a bunch of stuff. And when I say need and desire, I just don't mean, I had a 20% growth, or I'm shipping 5,000 orders now. But it also comes down to, what is your customer profile? Are you shipping coast to coast? Are you just shipping, regionally? Are you competing with Amazon and Walmart on one-day shipping? Is your inventory management very complex? If you have 30,000 SKUs, it's a different thing. Is your business model constantly evolving? So take example, traditional e-commerce players going now becoming subscription box companies, or you want to have a marketing heavy insert strategy, or you have a very sustainable packaging desire that maybe 3PLs are not able to support. So a lot of those factors will play into the need versus desire, and then the ability portion of it. That's a long answer, but it's the way to see, are you mature enough? And if you're mature enough as an organization, do you have the capability to execute?
Thank you. In a minute, there's a lot happening with automation. In a minute, I'm going to ask you about tools, because I know you put together a pretty automated facility for Adore.me. But before then, let's pick up where you just left off, which was that George, stop. Crutin, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay, because it looks like I'm not recording. It looks like the same thing happened as before, but let's
see.
It's
telling me that recording is in progress.
Okay. All right. George, I'm going to wait 5 seconds and start again. Crutin, where I'll start again is where you left off, which was you've now made the decision to do that. So now let's talk about, what are the starting points in terms of putting a team together and a design? I just wanted to make sure I don't have the same thing that happened before. All right, George, I'm going to wait 5 seconds so you have an edit point. Crutin, thanks for that. So we've now made the decision to go forward. We're gonna bring our supply chain in-house. We're going to put together a supply chain. I know that you did a lot of automation inside the box, inside the DC. I'll come to the tools and things next. But what's the starting point? What do I need in terms of, putting a team together, putting a design together? There's last mile delivery aspects to this. What were those steps that you took with your team at Adore.me once you had a green light to develop this?
Sure. So once we had a green light to do this, the process was the first step of the process was to define that process on how we're going to do it, right? So in any organization, I think that becomes a starting point to say, okay, we're going to do it. We're going to do it, here, or first find out where you're going to do it. So location, site selection, those are the standard parts of the processes, but then sort of evaluating to say, what is my budget? What am I going to do inside the building? Am I going to automate it? Am I not going to automate it? Right now, the marketplace is so confusing in a way, and also constantly evolving in terms of technologies available to, build a startup distribution center. There is so many integrators that are coming up. There's tons of robotics companies and automation companies that are popping up every, few months, as well as, there are robust WMS and, just software players out there as well. So it's a complex ecosystem, and sometimes it's difficult to navigate. So first step that I would recommend anybody is to sit down and take a look at this ecosystem, talk to a bunch of players, that's do your homework, right? If you talk to at least 5, 6, 7 different integrators or even people that have done it, it will give you a fair amount of idea in terms of the use cases you want to implement and what technologies will ultimately help you do that. Once you have a short list of maybe integrators or technology partners that you can do it with, start talking to them in more detail. It doesn't have to be a formal RFP, but ultimately, you do want to get to that point. Also, in parallel, look at the team that you have or look at the team that you need to build. What are the skill sets that are missing on that team? One important thing that I would highlight in there is you definitely need people that understand the intricacies that are involved with your business model, as well as what you want to achieve out of this operation. It's easy to say that, I have a goal of shipping 25,000 orders out of this building, but what are your orders made up of? Do they change over time? You know, all of those detailed understanding upfront is what will help drive that design a lot better and will make it, will allow you to put some flexibility in it.
Did you have much of the way of data to go from, given, you know, when you're doing a startup? I know Adormi had been around for a while, but when you're doing a startup, you know, your historical data is going to be limited because A, you're a startup, and B, you would have started up from nothing and kept growing, and predicting future growth is a little bit tough. You know, how did you approach the data aspect of it in terms of figuring out what you needed to do?
Yeah, sure. So whether it's Adormi or more recent discussions and, you know, work with other startups and companies, data is always somewhat a challenge, but, you know, there exists different flavors of it, right? So you may have a few years of history. If you're reaching that scale, you as a company, you may have a vision on where you want to go. Plus you're seeing trends in the marketplace, right? So you're seeing what competitors or larger companies are doing. And you know if you want to do it similar things or you want to do it slightly differently. So you can put together some quantitative analysis, and then add to that is some qualitative aspects of it, right? So you can do some scenario modeling to say, you know, let's assume 20% year over year growth. What happens if we reach 50% year over year growth? What happens if we only achieve 5% growth year over year? And then sort of if your worst case scenario is also the scenario where you need either automation or level of sophistication, then that's the scenario you start from. But you build in flexibility that allows you to even achieve your best case scenario.
You touched on automation and the new technologies that are available today, especially around robotics, goods to person picking. Is automation a requirement, particularly starting out? How do you make that decision along with choosing the right technology?
Automation is not necessarily a hard requirement. Is it a great nice to have, or in some cases, basic level of automation could be a requirement? It will just depend upon where you are building this facility, what you are going to do. So there are certain, you know, markets. If you're in an urban market where you want to reduce your real estate footprint because real estate is super expensive, automation pays off very fast. If you're in a really tight labor market and, you know, finding labor is going to be a challenge and managing that labor is going to be a challenge, then automation certainly helps with that case. But if you are in a, you know, like a market where using automation may not be ideal, or it might not make the best ROI, then it's not a must-have, but you should plan for it in your business case and design so that if in future, as you need to incorporate it, you are not redesigning your whole operations from scratch again. One of the big challenges that I see with some of the companies that are now trying to retrofit supply chain with automation are struggling is, oh, our DC is, you know, 90% utilized. In order for us to put automation, that requires downtime, and downtime is something we can't afford. Or, you know, how do we achieve this without disrupting our operations? So building that flexibility up front and putting it in design will certainly help. Do you need to implement it day one? Will just depend upon your business case and use cases, and also your ability to invest into it. Certain companies have the desire, but don't have the ability to invest in it. And the others do have the ability to invest in it, then, you know, by all means, you should consider and do it upfront as opposed to wait for 5 years or 2 years down the road.
When we're talking about e-commerce, and particularly now with COVID, I'm hearing this in the long-established retailers I'm talking to, returns are an issue and are becoming more of an issue. So how do you plan to handle returns when you're doing a startup supply chain?
I think most people don't think about returns when they start building startup supply chain. But it's definitely the necessity evil that you need to plan for. And again, from what I'm hearing from retailers and e-commerce players over the last 6 months is that sales have gone up substantially, but also returns have gone up substantially, and which is sort of the cost that they had not planned for. But they're all sort of now trying to be agile and nimble and, you know, build those processes around it. What I would highly recommend is to sort of have a dedicated process and a dedicated strategy on how you will handle the changing volume of returns. You know, there might be months where you might only see a couple of percentage returns, and then there might be months where you might see, you know, high double-digit returns. So in those scenarios, do you have the manpower that's flexible enough to do it? Are your people trained across different areas of the processes so that they can do it? And also, ultimately, can you deploy a certain type of automation that will help process returns faster? Ultimately, might be things to look at it. Not many companies look at automation when it comes to returns processing, just because it's considered a bigger cost center. But I think we will get to a stage very fast here where companies will sort of start automating returns process even from a in warehouse processing perspective, and that is what will ultimately solve for high volume of returns.
Last question, and I know that you're talking in your current role, you're talking to other startups and other retailers. What's the most important takeaway from your experience that you would share with another startup?
Couple of different experiences. One is be open-minded and design with flexibility. I've had multiple conversations where either the founders or, you know, the head of supply chains and e-commerce companies or even traditional retailers these days have a very biased view of, only, you know, goods-to-person technology will work for us, or only, you know, this kind of AMRs or AGVs will work for us. And because of closed-mindedness, they're just going towards a single use case solving or not leaving flexibility in the design. I would really urge people to take a more broader perspective. Take a little bit of time up front to design it right, because that is going to last with you for a very long period of time. That's number one. The second part of it is build a team that will support it for the longest period of time. I think not having that vision from day one on what that team might look like might also be a hindrance to long-term growth. What I can tell you from my previous roles as well as more conversations, the teams or companies that build a team are able to execute it much better and much faster than people that ultimately try to augment the team at a later stage. Those would be sort of the top two takeaways.
Thank you for that. Now, that's all the time we have today. I want to thank Kruten Shah for joining me, and thank you for listening. I hope you'll be back for our next episode. For Supply Chain Management Review and Talking Supply Chain, I'm Bob Troublecock.
Talking Supply Chain is produced by Supply Chain Management Review and Peerless Media. You can find it on scmr.com, on iTunes, or under SC247, or just Google SC247 podcasts. For more information, be sure to visit scmr.com. We hope you'll join us again.